But I think 12 is a fun race for girls because, you know, the top 8 get paid. So, you know, you have your front people like Jody Swallow and Heather and Kelly that'll really be battling in the beginning for those top few spots. And then I think you've got the rest of your girls, including myself, that really battle for, you know, the rest of the spots and the money and the points. People, are you ready?
Coming up on this episode of the Endurance Hour podcast, we talk to two professional triathletes taking part in this weekend's Ironman 70.3 in Panama, which happens to be the Latin American Pro Championship. The Endurance Hour podcast starts now. And welcome back to the Endurance Hour podcast. This is episode 56. I'm Dave Erickson. Roger Thompson is off this week. We have a fantastic show, though, because we have two professional triathletes on the line who are in Panama City right now, preparing for the second annual Ironman 70.3 Panama Triathlon, which consists of a 1.2-mile swim, 56-mile bike, and a 13.1-mile run. Those athletes are Leslie LaMaccia and Melanie McQuaid, the 3-time Xterra world champion. Leslie is a second-year professional triathlete. She just turned pro last year. She's also a full-time practicing lawyer, so she has a full plate on her schedule. Before we get to all that, the Endurance Hour podcast is brought to you each week by SwimBikeRunVideos.com. You can hear the podcast on both iTunes and Stitcher Smart Radio. It's free. In fact, you can go to SwimBikeRunVideos.com and see a complete archive list of all our episodes, 1 through 55, including this 156. If you have a question, comment, correction, or show topic suggestion for myself or Roger, call 1-720-295-9890. That's our Google voice message. You can always send us an email, endurancehour@gmail.com, and like us and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The keyword is Endurance Hour. This weekend's race in Panama consists of a point-to-point 1.2-mile swim, which takes place in the Pacific Ocean with water temperatures right around 78 degrees, so no wetsuits allowed for this one. Next up after that is a 56-mile bike course that includes the Bridge of the Americas, which I was over last year when I covered that race. The reason I was down there last year, not only was it the inaugural Ironman 70.3 Panama, but of course, as you all remember, Lance Armstrong made his big return to triathlon 1 year ago this week. So the athletes cross over the Bridge of the Americas, which connects Central and South America, eventually works its way to the Pan American Highway and through the forest that protects the biodiversity and Panama Canal watershed, which is amazing if you can get down there. This is definitely a destination type of race. Finally, it's a two-loop 13.1-mile run that heads over the Amador Causeway through the major tourism areas surrounded by the Pacific Ocean, where athletes and spectators can watch the ship movement in and out of the Panama Canal while enjoying the beautiful views of Panama City. It is a neat city, but it does take some getting used to when you want to get from downtown to the race course. Anyways, the professional field in Panama will be competing for 1,500 pro ranking points, which go toward qualifying for both Ironman and the Ironman 70.3 World Championships, as well as $75,000 in prize money. There are 40 age group spots available for the Ironman World Championship 70.3, which will be at Lake Las Vegas in Henderson, Nevada again this year. It'll be on September 8th. Now, there is a very strong men's field this year, including the returning champion from last year, 3-time Olympian Bevan Daugherty. There's also the likes of Andy Potts, both a Ironman 70.3 world champion, as well as an Ironman champion, 70.3 winner, and so on. Other names that are on the pro men's field, at least the tentative list, include Dirk Bockel, Paul Ambrose, Paul Matthews, Trevor Wertel from Canada, Fraser Cartmell, and just a host of others. In fact, there's a full list of the athletes on the roster on swimbikerunvideos.com. Now, the women's field is much smaller, but just as competitive. The 2010 Ironman 70.3 world champion, Jody Swallow from Great Britain, she will be on the start line this weekend and is one of the top three favorites to win this race. The former Olympian is solid in all three disciplines, and she is coming off some really good wins earlier this year already. Her third consecutive mid-January win at Ironman 70.3 South Africa. So always a force to be reckoned with, Jody Swallow. But she will not be outdone, at least not if American Kelly Williamson has anything to say about this. Kelly was second place last year in Panama. She'll be back on the start line this year, along with Heather Wertel from Canada. So Heather and her husband Trevor will both be down there racing. Melanie McQuaid, who we will talk to and hear from a little bit later, as well as Amy Marsh and Sarah Gross, to name a few. Two athletes not on the list this weekend will be Nina Kraft, who was initially on the start list. The other name that's a no-show this year is Angela Naith, the defending champion, who was on a string of 70.3 wins last year, so she will not be on the start line this weekend. With all that said, it should be a great race regardless, and there will be an athlete tracker available on Sunday on Ironman.com. That way you can track every athlete's progress throughout the day, and a complete wrap-up of all the action and results in the professional race in Panama will be available Sunday evening, also on Ironman.com. In the meantime, let's begin our interview section of the podcast today with Leslie LaMaccia, who I did an interview with while she was at the Host Hotel in Panama, in which she could see out the window and see the Bridge of the Americas. What a view that must be. So here it is, and after that, we will talk with Melanie McQuaid.
We have had a hell of a day. We're just actually back from the hotel, and we've done no training today because getting around Panama is insane. And then we got caught in a demonstration and had to turn around, and we don't have maps. So it was pretty hectic.
You know, I was there last year with Ironman.com's senior editor, managing editor, Kevin McKinnon, and we got lost every single day trying to go back from the race site to our hotel in downtown Panama. It was just a madhouse.
Yeah, well, we're staying at the race site, thank God. So Balazs had some bike issues, and now he's finally putting together his bike, and then we're going to go riding shortly.
Tell me about your trip down to Panama from Texas.
Yeah, it's a good 3.5-4 hour flight from Houston, so it works out well for me since it's where I live and it's direct. So I said, why not go to Panama City?
Now, this is the second year they had the event, so why this year?
I think because I wanted to see where my early season fitness was. You know, you put in a couple good months over winter, and I didn't want to wait until March. I wanted to just see where it was at as a test come February, I guess. And, I mean, it's Panama City, and you get to swim in the canal, so I thought, this is really cool.
Have you seen the swim course yet?
Yeah, it's right out my window.
Okay, okay.
Pretty awesome.
It should be a fast one with swimming with the current. At least it was last year.
I'm looking forward to a fast swim. Yeah. Swimming is my weakness, and so hopefully I can grab on some feet and enjoy, like, you know, a fast-moving swim for me. That would be pretty awesome.
We'll stay on Panama, but first, you said something about are you doing Oceanside this year?
I'm not doing Oceanside.
Oh.
I've signed up for Ironman Los Cabos.
Okay. Ah, the full, the big one.
Yes.
You're all tropical this year, huh? You're going tropical this year.
Yes. Well, I think because I train in the warm climate in Houston and the humidity, I think I do much better in warmer temperatures.
Okay.
So I like it. I'd rather be warm than cold.
Yeah. Hey, this is your second full year as a professional now.
Yes.
And how is your mental state going into your second year after the first year is under your belt?
Better than my first year. I think I didn't really know what to expect the first year because I'd only been in the sport 1 year prior to that. So I don't think I'm really going to like go for it in some races as opposed to just being, you know, complacent with being at the back. You know, and letting those girls who are super competitive just, you know, take control of the race. I think I've learned that, you know, with some of my training and even my competitive mindset that I am capable of pushing myself a little bit more. So I'm excited for a second year, and I think there's a lot of second year pros, and I think it'll make the year really fun because we've all learned a lot and we've enjoyed, you know, the rookie season together. And so I think it's going to be a fun second year.
And one of those first year pros, Kelly Phil, now friend of yours?
One of us.
And one of the first year pros?
Yes, a good friend of mine.
Sorry for the delay there, Leslie. 3 hour difference. Well, last year, the first time I really met you or even talked to you briefly was Ironman Lake Placid, and you had a sixth place finish. What was that, your first full Ironman as a pro?
That was my first full Ironman in general.
Wow.
Yeah, I never attempted any of those distances, so I just enjoyed it and I loved it, and you know, and having someone like Kelly there to enjoy it with me makes the experience a lot better. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
And if I remember correctly, you were featured on one of the Ironman videos, the Full Circle videos?
I was, for Lake Placid.
Yeah. Not too bad for your first year as a pro. You're being highlighted on Ironman.com and their YouTube channel.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. It was a great group of guys that did the video, and I enjoyed it. It was good exposure and good experience.
Okay, let's tell me more about the Panama experience and what the plan is, I guess, to attack this course. I know you're going over two different continents. That's kind of cool. You go over the from Central America to South America.
Yeah, the Bridge of the Americas is actually outside of my hotel window. I can see it, and it's pretty cool. I've heard from a lot of the other pros that raced this course last year that the bike is pretty difficult. And the roads are not forgiving because there's debris and, you know, they're a little rough. So I think my game plan is just to settle in, and there's, I think, three or four good climbs, and just be patient, because I know it is going to come down to the run on this race because it's a flat, fast run, but the temperatures will be pretty hot. So I think you'll see maybe some girls and guys that go out on the bike a little too hard start to fade in the run with the temperatures increasing as the race goes on.
So you must be a little bit confident coming from Texas where the temperatures are warmer to a nice transition to Panama weather.
Yes, and even this winter we've had some really warm temperatures. And it's been pretty humid, so I'm hoping my body's ready to adjust or ready to acclimate.
I'm looking at the pro list, and there's about 12 or 13 gals on the pro list. Is anybody stand out on that list to you?
Oh my gosh, I think they all do. I think I'm the only one that stand out. yeah, you know, Kelly Williamson and Heather Wertel. I'm surprised that Angela Nath is not on the she was the champion, and I think her blog and her tweets up until maybe last week or 2 weeks ago had said she was coming. So I was surprised not to see her on there. And then, of course, Jody Swallow and Melanie McQuaid. And I think there are a couple girls from maybe Latin America or Mexico that are racing. Nina Kraft told me last week that she's not racing. So I think that now puts us at 12 girls. Yeah, I think that's a really nice size field for a race like this. I know there's a lot more guys, but I think 12 is a fun race for girls because, you know, the top eight get paid. So, you know, you have your front people like Jody Swallow and Heather and Kelly that'll really be battling in the beginning for those top few spots. And then I think you've got the rest of your girls, including myself, that really battle for, you know, the rest of the spots and the money and the points. So.
Yeah. So what is your purpose or motivation for this race? Is it really a fitness test, or are you looking for points as well as maybe seeing how you compare against some of the other top tier women?
I think it's twofold. Points for sure, because my goal this year is to qualify for Las Vegas, and also as a fitness check, because I didn't take much of an off season. I felt really good. My last race of the season was Ironman Arizona, which was a flop for me. I was probably the fittest I had been, and then I got kicked in the swim really hard in my calf and was unable to actually like put any pressure on that calf. So I really, you know, faltered in the run even. I mean, it was just a horrible run. So my fitness was in really peak condition at that point, but the race didn't show it. And so I just took a week and a half off after the race and then hit it hard again. So I think I'm, you know, ready to get some points and ready to see where my fitness really is.
And your goal today, you guys going out for a bike ride, is that right?
Yeah, Velaz is, I don't know how
he's... I'm part of my bike.
He's finishing
right
his bike.
Like that 1 minute.
So we had some issues earlier today with his derailleur. I don't know if you can see him.
I can, keep going.
Hey, how are you?
Good, Velaz, how are you?
I'm doing well. I just try to be on time to leave. You know, I plan to do on the bike at the early in the morning, but I just got lost. I had some issue with my derailleur and my chain, so we had to find a bike shop because I didn't have the right tool. You know, it was like 4.5 hours to drive through kind of a city. Just crazy, absolutely crazy.
Yeah, transferring between countries when it comes to bringing your bike and customs and all that kind of stuff. And if you can't, if you're missing a tool or something, good luck finding a bike shop.
Yeah, thank God for me, the driver.
Yeah. She became like a real Panamanian driver, I can tell. I was scared in the car of it. She was driving crazy in this road.
Yeah, some of the law enforcement are holding large weapons at some spots.
Yes, but blonde hair gets you through some of those long checkpoints. Yeah, so as soon as Velaz is done, we're going to hope to get an hour ride in. We stayed near the race start, and it's probably the only safe place to ride your bike around here because it's along the causeway. And so we'll get in a good hour late day spin and a quick little run. So...
Well, tell me your expectations or hopes in terms of your performance this weekend. You got 12 women.
Yeah, 12 women. I'd like to see myself, obviously, in the top eight. So, I think we all wish that we finish every race, you know, safely and with a smile. So I truly think that, you know, as long as I can do that, it's still a good day for me. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, especially in a foreign country.
Yeah, are you leaving the next day or staying a few more days to take it in?
I'm leaving back to Houston on Monday because okay. I have to work. So.
Right, yep. Full-time professional and full-time professional athlete, I know.
Yep.
Good for you. Well, Leslie, thanks. Thank you very much. And tell Belaz hello and thank you as well. And good luck this weekend.
Okay, thank you so much. Speak later.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye, thanks, Leslie.
All right,
bye. Bye-bye, guys.
Bye.
And now let's talk to four-time world champion, three-time Xterra world champion, Melanie McQuaid from Canada, who's also down in Panama, to take her shot at the title. Although, admittedly, she says she is probably not in the best form right now, still dealing with an injury from last year, so she, like many professional athletes, as it is with Ironman Triathlon, is chasing some points and trying to get some early season points to set herself up, hopefully, for the Ironman 70.3 World Championship later in the year. So here's our interview with Melanie McQuaid in Panama.
Tell me about your experience in Panama so far.
It's been really good. I think... the people here are amazingly friendly and, you know, it's warm. I haven't done that much that's that exciting because I'm being just super careful about whether or not I'm going to be sensitive to, like, the food and the water and things like that. So I'm actually laying pretty low. I'm not doing a lot. I'm hoping that since I have an extra day, I can actually be a little bit more adventurous after the race.
What do you mean you have an extra day after the race? You're staying an extra day?
Yeah, I'm not leaving until Tuesday, so I figure I'll go out and, you know, try some other stuff out, like, for the day after the race.
Sure. Have you been to Panama before?
Oh, no. No, I've never been to South or Central America, so this is my first trip this far south, for sure.
So how did this land on your schedule for your first big race of the year?
I think it's mostly just the points chase that all of us are in for the 70.3 Worlds. My season went downhill pretty quickly after May last year, so I had a really poor showing at Worlds, and And if I want to try and squeeze any X-Terra races in this season at all, I need to be in a fairly strong points position for 70.3 really early. And so I just thought that one of my weaknesses last year was all the races that I like tend to be really tiny points. So I decided to just throw in a couple races that I may or may not like at all, only because they have a higher points level. Because it's just, it's such a difference when you come to the high points races versus the low points and how much do you walk away with in terms of the ranking.
Yeah, it's a business decision, isn't it?
It totally is. But I mean, this is... It's not like any kind of like financial decision. I think for this it was more. I think I'm kind of ready. I've never been to. It'll be an adventure. When am I ever going to go to Panama again? Mm-hmm. Why not? More than anything, because there's really not much to lose.
The great thing about our sport, whether it's Xterra or the Ironman circuit, is you have all these amazing locations around the globe that you can travel to that you otherwise maybe would not have gone to unless there was a race there.
Yeah, I think that's certainly, it's more the adventure of the sport versus anything else at this point for me. So I thought this was a pretty cool adventure, and it could be, it still is being a responsible pro athlete in coming here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So
you're one of the rare athletes who is very successful at both the off-road and the on-road triathlon world. What is it that you think makes you so versatile in both arenas?
Let's be clear. I mean, I haven't raced a full Ironman, and that's quite a bit different than the 70.3 races. So I think that the 70.3 or half Ironman distance is not that different from an Xterra in terms of the energy system and the length of the race. I mean, 3 to 4.5 hours are kind of similar, training and preparation for it's similar training and preparation for those two races. So I think that I have a lot of years of racing Xterra, which prepared me reasonably well to switch over and try some of the 70.3 stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think more than anything that it's that. And I think that although I'm not the strongest runner in 70.3, when my riding is at the level that I like it to be at, then I tend to come off the bike with reasonably fresh legs, which saves me from runners that are outstanding that may come off the bike a little bit more tired than I am. So I think that's sort of what tips the balance in my favor sometimes in 70.3 is that I can ride pretty strong for 2.5 hours. So I think that more than anything, is that the 70.3 distance is really favorable to people who can ride well. And I think, you know, it's pretty clear that generally my race strategy is almost the same every time.
Yeah, I know. Just go out as hard as you can sometimes.
Yeah.
It is a smoother transition to go from Xterra to road triathlon versus the other way around, isn't it?
I think so. I just because... If you don't have any skills at all, then off-road racing can be intimidating in terms of, like, technical skills. So there's not a lot of technical skills involved in 70.3 because you're generally riding a straight line. But that being said, I have ridden some pretty technical courses, and it did take me some time to even do things like riding in aero bars at, like, 60 or 70K an hour. You know, like, that's a skill to be able to be strong and confident to ride really, really fast and maintain aero positions. So I think that there's room for good technical skills in 70.3 at certain courses for sure. And so I think there are some girls that have been riding a TT bike and are really strong riders that may or may not be mountain bikers at all that have certain skills for 70.3 that I may not have yet because I'm not used to riding that fast. Certainly, I'm not saying that you don't need skills to do 70.3 because, you know, I'm there's always room for improvement, and I'm finding lots of places where that improvement can be employed.
I spoke with Leslie LaMaccia earlier today in Panama, and we were talking about the pro field, and looks like Nina Kraft is not going to be there. And we also know that Angela Naith is not returning to defend her title. So what some of the names on the list stand out to you? Which ones stand out to you?
Well, I think Kelly Williamson being second at Worlds and second here last year is I would argue that she's the favorite here because she's really good at really hot races to start with. And she's a running phenomenon. So I think all of us, there's nobody in the race now that Angela's not here, that's going to run with her. So I think that she can't be discounted. And then certainly, Jody Swallow, another world champion, past world champion is, you know, she's a badass.
Yes.
It's supposed to be a really, a more difficult bike course. So I think that Heather Wirtel is definitely going to be strong here. And, I think that she's just been steadily improving year over year. So I think, in terms of, you know, our national pride here, she's definitely with me carrying the flag of a super strong Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some girls who I haven't raced before, so I don't really know their strengths, but I know that they're, you know, legitimate athletes. And you know, when you're at a strange country, it can take some of the girls who may be well known, but you know, out of their element. So I'm not looking at this as like, there's just like, there's the girls that I know, and then there's the ones that I don't know that, you know, are going to be discounted. I think that, you know, there might be some really strong South American or just like girls that we just don't know because we don't race down here. So,
mm-hmm.
I think that it'll be an exciting race no matter what.
Yeah. Now, do you have the same strategy for most races? I mean, we already talked about, you know, you kind of go balls out no matter what. But in a case like this, when you know certain members of your competition are, let's say, stronger runners, you might want to, you know, just crank it a little bit harder on the bike to give yourself a little more breathing room off the bike?
Let's be honest. I've been injured since last May. So I, took like 3 months off of running. So it's February 3rd. So if you count up the time, the amount of time that I've had to prepare for running has been quite small,
okay.
Like non-existent. So, however, that being said, I'm hoping that, healthy and undertrained is better than overtrained and injured.
Sure.
So, I think that I think there's a lot of fitness that will transfer, and I've been working really hard on my position on my time trial bike, and just my specific fitness for riding. So really, it's early season. I'm here to just see what I can do on the bike to start with,
mm-hmm.
and then try and finish the race.
Okay.
So that's my strategy here, and honestly, that isn't that much different from. I'm running awesome right now and I'm going to a race and I'm going to see if I can win because really if I'm feeling awesome and I'm running well, I'm still going to go crazy on the bike and then try and finish the race. So it's not that much different. That being said, I think the biggest difficulty on the run here is the heat because it's pancake flat.
Yep.
I mean, Kelly ran 116 here off the bike. Like who does that?
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous. So it is like a lightning fast course, and I'm sure I can't run 116 on Sunday. So I don't know how many gobs of time I'm going to need, but I'm sure it's a lot of gobs.
Well, let's fast forward 2 months and defending champion at Oceanside. Where you know, I watched some of the footage and I've heard some clips of your interviews after that race, and you sounded surprised, but also you know pretty proud that you captured that title down there in California.
Yeah, I think Oceanside was the first time that I ever really put it together on the bike, and so that was really exciting for me to know that I could be fast on a time trial bike as well. Because really before that, I'd been pretty good, but never like really fast.
Mm-hmm.
And so unfortunately, just after that, I think I hurt myself. So basically, I'm hoping that I've got some of that feeling again.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't show here, then I'm hoping that it comes around again in time for that. Because like I said, I don't, that fitness didn't disappear, just the biomechanics were wrong. And I'm sure I can do something of that sort again. And it would be really great to go back to Oceanside and perform like that again. So this race is actually just a really good way of gauging where I'm at in terms of the first two thirds of the race going into that, which will be really valuable in my preparation in the coming months. Like I said, I am underprepared for running at this point, but that's okay as long as I can put two thirds of the race together. Then by the time we get to Oceanside, I'll have a solid 2 months to look at that, and I'll know where I am compared to last year in terms of my riding.
It's great to follow you online, racergirl.com, and you know you can see your Racer Girl television episodes there, of course your bio, sponsors, and I'm looking at your race schedule, and there's a question mark next to Ironman Arizona. Is this the first effort or the first attempt at a full Ironman for you? Would it be?
That would be my first attempt, yep.
Okay. Yep. Hey, why are you laughing?
There's a few iterations of my season. It kind of depends on how certain portions of it happen. So I put that in there as, it's almost like, you know, those choose your own adventure books where yes. basically you switch to a certain page and then that page sends you into another page. Mm-hmm. Well, Ironman Arizona will be the result of a certain path. And so if I follow that path, then I go to Ironman Arizona. And if I don't, then I won't. So if you look at the schedule, it'll be difficult to prepare for Ironman Arizona depending on what happens between September and October. So I'm going to make that decision in September.
Yeah, that's a big month, September, for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's it. If I really, Ironman Arizona is going to depend on how much weight I put into Xterra in terms of the U.S. schedule this year.
And would you be approaching or entering Ironman Arizona with as an experiment, or would you? How would you approach that race? Being it would be your first full Ironman.
Oh, it's always. I don't know if I'm going to figure anything out my first time there for sure. So certainly, it is an experiment to see whether or not I like. First off, I like that distance, and second off, if I have any hope of ever being good at it, There's no pressure, certainly. Let's put it that way. There's no pressure going into that. It would be something like, oh, yeah, I think I have time to prepare because I would not want to go to an Ironman unprepared. Mm-hmm. And just give it a go. You know, I've never done an Ironman. Why not, right?
Why not? Have you done a marathon?
No.
Well.
No. Yeah. No, I'm fully unprepared at this point, especially at this point of the season.
Sure.
I couldn't be further away from prepared for a marathon at this point.
Yeah. Well, what's your first impressions of Panama so far?
Oh, it's pretty cool, actually. The people are incredibly friendly, for mm-hmm. one. It seems that most people here are really proud of Panama. They just think Panama is beautiful. And I mean, there's parts of the city that are just, you know, it's a city. It's not the beaches and jungles and stuff that you would find outside of here, but it's got its charm for sure. And I don't know. It's fun. I think it's fun. The food so far is good.
Have you had their coffee?
You know what? I actually just bought a bunch of beans too. Yeah. So yeah, I'm all over that. I was trying to, apparently you can get some fancy, Central American chocolate too, which I actually haven't found yet. So it's probably good if I don't eat that before the race, but I need to find that. So if anybody has the 411 on where I can get that chocolate, that would be good.
Yeah.
It's been good, but like I said, I'm actually, I'm pretty much holed up in the hotel for most of the day because it is quite warm mm-hmm. compared to home. Mm-hmm. And really, it was an insane travel for me to get here. So essentially, I'm just laying low trying to recharge before Sunday because it's coming fast.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Mel, that's all I really got. Just wanted to catch up with you and see preparation for Panama. And I'd love to see you get a really great looking schedule here for 2013. Very, very involved. A lot of 70.3s. And of course, it's almost split. Xterra and 70.3s, half and half.
Yeah, it's similar to last year, but what I found last year is that because I didn't do high enough points races, I was chasing the 70.3 ranking all the way into mid-August. And like I said, my season went downhill kind of halfway through, so mm-hmm. it just didn't work out. So I figured if I try and get a handle on qualification early, that frees up some more time for me to devote to maybe going to some Xterras. But it also, my main goal is to leave the whole month of August open so that I have an opportunity to properly train for 70.3 Worlds and treat it like a world championship, and rather than just going at the last minute, qualifying at the last minute, and just showing up and doing terrible.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If I don't qualify early, then I will eliminate that and not go, because it's a Worlds, and you know, I don't need to develop, I need to perform. Mm-hmm. So that I think that starting early this year will allow me to perform better at 70.3s during the season, better at 70.3 Worlds, and definitely better at the Xterra races. So that's our goal, right? Is to perform better.
And it looks like I'm going to be at least 3 of your races this year, covering it for Ironman. One of them, I think, I'm racing itself. So
Which one?
I may be going to Oceanside as an athlete. I'm not sure yet, but I will be covering St. George 70.3, and there's a good chance I'll go to Hanu 70.3 because there's a certain athlete that may be participating. I'll keep that hush right now. And then Lake Stevens I'll probably do.
Awesome.
And
you love my schedule.
I do. I really like it. And I don't know. I might be able to go to Xterra USA Champs, and then Ironman Arizona. I will be there for sure.
Cool. Yeah. Well, there you go. Yeah, nice. No, I love the Hanu race. I'm really looking forward to that. It's really cool. I mean, I don't know if I'm ever going to do the full Ironman, because I thought the half was hard enough, but I really look forward to going back there and doing that race again. It was good.
Do you remember Hanu? Because I remember you coming across the finish line and you didn't look very happy.
No, I was really sick. I got, speaking of like eating bad food, yeah, I got really sick there. So that was, I mean, Kona is one of the most beautiful islands. It's the safest place in the world to go, but I managed to poison myself.
So. Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if it was as a result of the injury in May.
Well, I mean, no. Like, that one, actually, I was just playing, like,
okay.
No.
Okay.
No. I mean, for sure, like, last year I really had some issues with my hip that just deteriorated as the season went. Mm-hmm. So certainly I think my form was off as of Wildflower. And when I look back at my season, I couldn't finish the run at a 70.3 without walking from Wildflower on.
Oh.
And it basically only, like, I only figured it out later. But, you know, that's what I don't know. Only figured it out after I stopped. So, but yeah, no, Hanu is fantastic. Obviously, last year there was a certain someone that was there that made it extra super exciting. But, like, mm-hmm. I really enjoyed, we got to stay at the Mauna Lani, which is a crazy athlete hotel, which is so awesome. And, you know, obviously the weather's beautiful in Kona all the time, and I like the wind and mm-hmm. the crazy hard bike course. It's, yeah, that race is really fun. But then again, on that schedule that we're talking about, I think Lake Stevens is also a super awesome race, and it really shows off the Pacific Northwest, which is, you know, kind of my home turf. So
yeah,
that one is good too.
Any new sponsor news in 2013?
Well, I mean, obviously the biggest change is that Avia has, like, exited the building. So that was kind of a bummer for all of us that were really enjoying working with some awesome people there for a long time. So I think at this point I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do about shoes. Right now I'm wearing, Pearl Izumi shoes, because I am a Shimano sponsored athlete. But really, everything that I all the companies I've worked with have essentially signed me for my career. So there's not going to be any massive changes for my program for the foreseeable future.
Mm-hmm.
Really. So really it was just trying to figure out a running shoe partner moving forward. And if not, then I'll be happy to run in Pearl Izumi, because, you know, they're excellent shoes and they're cool colors.
Yeah.
So, no, there's I think I've been working with everybody that I'm working with now for years, and that's how I like it. Just partners that support me and I support them, and, you know, there's not much need to change. And I think that my contract with Trek is a dream contract, and I think everything that I have with them is only getting better and better. So I really appreciate both Trek and Bontrager for teaching me how to ride a time trial bike, which is the biggest part of that. And, you know, it's, I think with companies like Powerbar and Rudy Project and Champion System, and all these companies are really popular in triathlon, so a lot of people can get to know what they're doing and know that they're, you know, they're first tier sponsors, like companies that make stuff that triathletes want. It's because it's really good. So there's really there's no need to change. It's all everything I dreamed of, for sure.
Here's a quick quiz of your own racing results. You know that Conrad just hit 50 Xterra wins last week in South Africa.
Yeah.
Where are you at?
Because
I see your victories.
I know he's kicking my butt. That guy wins more Xterra races and goes to more Xterra races than anybody. So,
but you,
I don't know. I don't even know. Am I at 20? I don't know. Like, he must be crushing me.
It's not a competition, but it's more like I look at yours and the list. I have to scroll down the page because there's so many on your list.
The question is, how many 70.3s has Caveman won?
Ah, booyah.
And do I get to count those as five times because they're so much longer?
Hey, if you want to.
No, there's no competition in terms of like off-road legend. Conrad is the man. You know, he's just year after year just challenging himself to be better and better, and he is getting better and better, and you know, he's just a great athlete, and I'm stoked for him that he's still enjoying so much success in Xterra, and I love Xterra. I think it's certainly I'm a better Xterra athlete when I'm at my best. I'm better at Xterra than I am at 70.3, but I think for me it was, maybe I just have like ADD and I just need to have new stimulus to keep motivated. And for me, it was really important to me to be an all-round triathlete. And I felt like going to 70.3 was so challenging and the girls are so strong that it was just throwing myself into just a bigger pool, and it was making me find ways to be better. And although it's also helped me to find ways to get worse. That's part of being an athlete, right? Is just seeing what you can do. And although I really wasn't that stoked about last year, I learned a lot from it. And I think that, you know, it's all time well spent in, you know, enjoying this little journey in triathlon. And, you know, I'm excited. I'm excited to do everything again this year. And I'm excited for Conrad to come back and, you know, continue to keep Xterra under his thumb, and I hope to see him and all the other super awesome people that race Xterra this year. And I'm also totally stoked to be meeting more and more of the girls here that do 70.3, because you know, I'm not a Kona girl, so I'm not part of that actual sorority. I'm just trying to knock on the door and get in at 70.3. So I think it's really cool for me to be able to you know, share some stories with athletes that have such different journeys. So it's really
well. I appreciate your time there in Panama, and I look forward to hopefully seeing you in Oceanside. If not, it'll be St. George for sure in May.
Excellent. All right. Well, you take care of yourself. Thanks for the chat, Dave.
Thank you, Melanie. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Again, racergirl.com. Melanie's got a lot of fun content on her website with her Racer Girl TV episodes. She's got, I think, more than 25 of them that go back to 2008. Of course, you can see her bio as well as her race schedule. She's got a deep race schedule this year with a very even combination of 70.3s and Xterra races. But as you heard, it's going to all depend on how the season goes and what direction her health goes throughout the year. So good luck to Melanie and good luck to Leslie this weekend in Panama, as well as all the pros and, of course, all the age groupers, the heart and soul of Ironman Triathlon. That will wrap it up for the special edition of the Endurance Hour podcast, kind of previewing Ironman 70.3 Panama with our special guests, Leslie LaMaccia and Melanie McQuaid. I'm Dave Erickson. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you back here next time.
Don't let me hear you say life's taking you nowhere.
Angel,
come
up,
baby. Look at that sky, life's begun. Nights are warm and the days are young.